calling to order the Cameron Park Community Services District Budget and Administration Committee, Monday, November 10th at 5:30 p.m. Call the roll, please.
I will. Director Wolfson.
Present.
Director Gilchrist.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Yay. moving on to adoption of the agenda. Dawn, do you have any...
I have nothing.
Would you like to make a motion?
Do we have any public comment on it first?
Sorry, forgot about that.
We do not, so I move we adopt the agenda as written.
I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Approval of last month's minutes. Any additions or changes?
No, it looked good to me.
Looks good to me. Any public comment? No? All right.
We accept the minutes.
Second. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We're going to be done by like six.
Okay. open forum. Members of the public may speak on any item not on the agenda.
Appropriate. Vicki Jacobs, Cameron Park. I missed the last board meeting, which was the first one in 2 years.
So I noticed.
Anyway, I saw on the agenda packet the quarterly year-to-date budget, you know, year-to-date actual, yeah. I guess you call it, whatever. Anyway.
Budget actual.
I, that's what I wanted to see, and I'm so grateful for it, and I didn't really have any questions. It wasn't anything out of the sphere of what I would expect. So, anyway, thank you for doing that.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you.
I think it's a wonderful thing if we can do that on a quarterly basis. That would be really nice. And thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
We got Brad back.
Okay. Brad's been absent.
I know.
Department matters. Number one, accountability act.
So I'll make this one quick. I should have Laura come over and do this one, huh? So certain district charges, levies, are subject to the local agency special tax and bond accountability act, as we call it. And it's codified in government code 50075. And that's what this report is. And so we do this regularly, and the report is attached behind. So what you'll see is you'll see you'll see all the liabilities, and you'll see everything behind that in that report. It talks about the money collected specifically for special tax, not commingled with other revenue sources. And so that's really what this report is to show just that. And it's a short report there.
Well, just the obvious that we're, 20,000 over budget.
This is last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did we address that in this year's budget?
Yeah, I think where we're at on that one is we did make some minor adjustments. There'll probably be some mid-year adjustments to his budget as well. So we'll talk about that one probably in December is my guess.
Okay. That was going to be my question.
Yeah. Yep. Well, that'll be the start, I should say, of the discussion is in December, but probably January, bringing something to the board to act on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any public comment? All right, so do we just need to forward this to the board?
We'll just forward this
no
to the...
resolution that needs to go
we'll
with
just go forward to the full board.
And then it will go to the auditor controller. Okay. And we will move it to the board with support. Next item, AB 277, AQMD, Summer Spectacular Shutter Grant Application.
Yes, ma'am. So AQMD announced literally 2 weeks ago, maybe a little bit more than 2 weeks ago, that their grants are open. We were looking for different grants, and we noticed they were closed, but they're open again. And so we apply for this every single year for Summer Spectacular, and really is to pay for or reimburse us for the cost of the shuttles to move people, at the events. And so it covered all of our costs last year. We expect this to cover all of our costs this year. Typically we get it. I don't want to, hopefully we get it again. They're usually pretty good about that. But really the purpose and intent is exactly what this is used for, and that is to decrease, traffic and emissions and things like that. So if we get them close enough, and then we bring them in the shuttle, it's reducing that. So I think we'll be successful in that grant.
Questions?
None. Bradley Bowen, Cameron Park. Just for clarification, 2766.
AB 2766.
And then that's I know this year there was an issue with the quantity of shuttles. Was that at the end of the day?
It was at the end of the event. I think that what we will do next time is look at different locations. I think it had more to do with not having enough shuttles. It was really the traffic. So they were stuck in traffic trying to get to one of the pickup locations. Exactly.
Yeah.
So we're going to rework that a little bit and see if we can have, you know, different locations. Like this one, I don't think was very, very well used. And so I think if we look at something like that where it's going the opposite direction of where most people are going, that might help us on that. So we'll play with that one a little bit more.
So we will move it to the board for a resolution to the board?
Yeah, I mean, that it will be a resolution, correct.
Okay. All right, moving on. AB 2766, audiovisual equipment grant application.
Yes, same grant. We are allowed to have multiple grant entries. Obviously, we will prioritize the shuttle first. This grant, what we talked about, you know, Nikki is really shepherding this. She's been amazing, our board clerk. Much like we did the video equipment in here and in the main hall, that's the same grant. We are looking to do the same thing in both classrooms. We're looking to do that in the office as well as probably the dance room as well, and just giving us different options for getting people to congregate in an area for a meeting rather than driving to a bunch of different places. And so the intent is really to step our game up when it comes to being able to have online meetings and things like that. I think the other piece would be to rectify this situation and truly make this a an event area where we can have a true online board meeting. That's still something that we struggle with. We just don't have the We have some of the technology, we don't have all of the technology yet. So that's the purpose and intent of this grant. So it would be classroom A and B, and we get people that use those all the time. So this would obviously make it more rentable as well. And then the dance hall, and that can be used as almost like an emergency operations center. If we have a major event in the area, we can bring people in, and we can connect to the other EOCs around in the area. That's kind of the intent. And then lastly, in the main office, we have a lot of meetings where we're either at our desk or we're at different locations. We're having everything in one spot where we can be in a meeting with a larger group. So that's the intent of this grant. We're still working on what the numbers are going to be. We have a lot of work to get everything into Mickey. There is a 20% match, but that match can also be in kind, so personnel power. So those will be the kind of things that we look at.
No, I think that's a good thing. We really need to get that up and running.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So this is just a information.
Information.
At this point, you're not moving to the board.
No, well, we'd like to move it to the board because we have to apply for the grant, and so.
But it's part of the previous item.
It's the same grant, second application.
Okay. Yeah. So, does there need to be a second resolution?
It might. Let me check with Nikki to see if it's a resolution or not. It might just be the direction or the approval of the board to apply for the grant.
Okay.
But I'll check with Nikki on that one for sure.
Yeah, because without knowing what the money is right now.
Right, but we will probably within the next week. That's kind of what we're tasked with, is getting Nikki all those numbers so she can put that in.
Public comment?
Reverend Bowen, Kim Report. I would encourage you guys, whoever writes the contract, stipulate a more professional installation, because looking at Panduit trip
duly noted
is an embarrassment.
That's my pain every day, brother. Yes,
I know.
I agree.
So clearly the contract needs to stipulate that AC that needs to be behind the TV along with those patch cords.
We, if awarded, we will do a better job with implementation, meaning that it should have been a walkthrough. That would not have been acceptable. And yeah.
But it probably should be stipulated in the group contract so that the person doing the work can't say, you guys didn't stipulate.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, it would also then appear in a scope of work that would be provided outright. So you're bidding against this scope of work.
Exactly.
It's incumbent upon us to make sure that those details are in that scope.
Right.
And then we hold the contract, or the scope is held in the contract.
Correct, exactly.
Yeah.
Good.
Is this the third
Vicki Jacobs, is this the same agency that we got the initial funding for what it is that
yes,
we
ma'am.
Have? And even though, you know, Alan said at the time, I remember it, mm-hmm. that it had to be up and running, you know, this whole thing about the board meetings and stuff, is that going to work against us when we're applying?
I don't think so. We've met all the grant performance obligations. I think we already did the closeout. We sent them all the documentation. There's no additional follow-up. I think the grant just said you had to purchase and install it, which clearly we have.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good.
They've not asked another question.
Very good.
Okay. So
we'll
move that one to the board.
All right.
District Book of Fees.
This will be a much longer conversation.
Yeah.
So you have in front of you, and Brad and Vicki, looks like you guys have them too. There's the packet. And so I'm going to go backwards. This document, the smaller 8x8.5x11, this is what we're going to be getting to. This will be, once we approve all of this, everything will be put into the Book of Fees. This will be what's approved by the board, by resolution, or ordinance, depending on what the fee is. But know that this will be the final product. This today is just simply a tracker to help us all understand the changes in the fees. And so really the purpose and intent of the Book of Fees is to take all of our fees from every place on our website or in an application or on the fire department site, put it in one location that's transparent, that's open, that's easy to read, in front of the public. Whether we use that fee regularly or we use that fee once every 2 years, every fee has to be in there. We've had a couple instances where a fee was kind of in a gray area and we've used a miscellaneous. We're not doing those anymore. So the intent was to look at what we're doing and saying, all right, do we capture all of the fees? What have you had in the last couple of years where we didn't have that? The fire department's a perfect example. There's a lot of fees you're going to see that are added because we didn't have them in there before. Same thing in the other departments. They just didn't have them, but we cleaned that up. How do we get there? We looked at what we do on a daily basis going, hey, man, we sure wish we would have had X or out at the lake. Well, we've always charged that amount. Well, that amount doesn't cover our costs, so we need to look at those kind of things. So we got everybody together. Fire department was in the room, everybody around the big table in there, and we went through every single department line by line, look at every fee, and we asked the hard questions. Why are we charging that? What are other agencies charging? And so it was a very fruitful meeting, and that came to this document. So this document here, if you look, every one, it's in a section. So if you look in the Book of Fees, there's section 1 through 7. That corresponds with the tracking sheet that's here. And I even made it big 11 by 17 or 14 by 17, whatever it is, so we can see it. I tried it on the smaller paper, and I was like, yeah, that's not going to work. So if we look at section 1, I'll go back at the top. At the top, you kind of see the legend or the key, if you will. If it's a new fee, it'll be in green. If it's a change in fee, that could be up or down. That'll be in blue. Or if we've modified the fee, that's going to be in kind of that yellowish color. And what that trip a modification might be, the fire department going from an hourly rate to a flat fee based on just time. And so that would be what a modification would be. Or we say, you know, a minimum of this many hours, and this is the fee. That would be a modification, and we'll talk about some of those as we go. So, you know, first, I guess the best way to do this is just kind of, do you want to go through every single one of them? Do you want to go through the ones that you have questions on? What's your pleasure?
I sort of think the ones that have major changes
okay.
and or are new.
Perfect. So major changes, significant increase, like, you know, 40%, it went up by $10, and that's the non-sufficient funds. And then subsequent checks. We don't get a lot of them, but we need to make sure that fee was relevant and up to date for us. The new fee is the 3% credit card transaction fee. We've never had that listed anywhere. That will be the fee once we finish implementing ActiveNet will be built in. And so the citizens will know that this is the cost of the class, but there's also up to a 3% charge, which is a standard credit card charging fee, because we get that. We're paying it right now. So that's what that one is. Photocopies, minor changes, just in the proposed fees. We don't get a ton of those. That just has to do with maybe we get a PRA, or maybe somebody, an instructor, or somebody wants to copy something. We get charged a fee per copy, so we want to make sure we're doing our due diligence and cost recovery. But we again, we don't do that very often. annual passes, this is a, you know, a bigger change, and my apologies, we haven't got to the percentages yet, and so we will continue to work through that. At any rate, the annual family pass up to five people, it looks like resident, current fee is $215. We're looking to go to $225. And then for non-resident is $240. We're looking to go to $255. And if you ask why, that's just a matter of just inflation and everything else. I think what you're going to hear a lot from us is when we talk about inflationary factors, we're going to base that on the CPIU, and that was this year 3%. There are instances where a fee is higher in some of these. Sometimes it's 5%, sometimes it's more because there's an adjustment to get back to market. That means we are significantly below market. Some of the fire department fees, if it has to do with personnel, because there's a 5% increase in the agreement, we want to make sure that that corresponded with our increase in that fee because we were just falling behind in that. So say CPI is 3%, but our increase the hourly rate is 5%, you can see where we fall behind on that. So we chose to use 5% on some of those, and I'll point those out as we go. Additional family members, $40 to $42, and you see the 5% there. Same thing with a non-resident, $46 to $48. Individual passes, $100 to $105. Non-resident, $115 to $120. Veterans and seniors, $72 to $75. We try to keep that low. And non-residents, $80 to $84. And then under three, we just kept that the same at three. That's it for admin. We want to have questions or discussion on the admin pages and get your thoughts. Yeah. I got my pen.
Should we wait for public comments again?
Madam Chair, I would recommend we do it by department if you're good with that.
By page is good.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Jacob. Give him a perk. Just a general comment. I was expecting the difference between resident and non-resident to be more substantial. I think it should be, because particularly for these passes where people are coming and using our services, you know, probably the pool a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're losing an opportunity to make more money, and I also feel like sometimes with like the pool in particular, it's possible that having non-residents here is impacting the experience of the people who live in this area.
Okay.
The pool is going to be more crowded, for example.
Yeah.
The park could be more crowded, for example. I would think that the fees for non-residents for the passes would be like, you know, a third higher than non-residents. Something like that.
Okay.
The amount of difference is not going to be any motivation for anybody to not use the facilities. You guys have to decide if that's what you want. I was surprised at this.
Okay.
But that does not hold for necessarily for when they're renting our place to use. And we want to produce income that way.
Right.
So we won't want to discourage non-residents from renting these places because I don't think at this point we're going to risk the residents being unable to rent.
Completely agree.
Yeah.
I mean, great points. The facility, we looked at that closely because you're right. I think we're on that line right now where people look at us and they say, hey, this is a great facility. That's a little much. And so we did look at market. What will the market bear? And some we were very, very under, but others we were, we probably shouldn't go too much higher, but your point's well taken.
Brad, the on-camera report. I kind of agree with my colleague over here.
Colleague.
A lot of that. But, I guess, have you run the numbers, the ratio between resident, non-resident of passes that were purchased? Do you have a trend of, if it was for every 100 there's one, that's kind of a moot point.
Right.
If there's 50 residents and 200 non-residents, then I think pricing structure should be a lot more to discourage non-residents than, and then encouraging residents might be to offset, for instance, if the proposed was $275, drop the $225 of resident down to $2 and compensate. But I think a study of how many of which would be a really important calculation to give that more weight. Not being too nitpicky, but some of the numbers, formats are zeros, censuses, and some aren't. I'd like to see it all be one or the other.
This will all be cleaned up.
I know, yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That's just kind of what I
do. Yep.
Why is there zeros when there's no zeros?
I completely agree.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Yep. All right, ready to go on to Section 2, Community Center. Okay, Section 2, you'll see a lot of blue. There's a lot of changes, and there's a couple new fees. Mark, did you want to talk about this one? You want me to?
So, and most of them, they're kind of in that, well, they're all over the board, actually. But what we did is we looked at what are kind of our neighboring communities charging, and then also what does it take for us to support when these rooms are rented out. Some of them, and I'll pull your line down to, you know, the half stage and the full assembly hall, you know, at those rates in comparison to what El Dorado Hills is getting or other community. I mean, we don't have too much more up the hill. I mean, you've got the fairgrounds and a few other small places, so we kind of had to focus on Folsom and El Dorado Hills. But we looked at what does it really take to support that? How many times do we have to go back? You know, we have to set up, we have to, if it's a large enough event, particularly on the East Hall and the Full Hall, we have staff basically here for the majority of the event, and they're doing trash pickups and making sure the restrooms are stocked. And so looking at some of those larger touch items, I felt that we were undercharging for the amount of effort it took to support it. The dance room, it's really quite easy. We open it up, we make sure the floors are clean. If they request chairs and whatnot, we do that. But, you know, we're pretty much in and out. It's in line with what El Dorado Hills is doing for their dance room. You know, it's not much in there. It's a mirror and the walls, and so that works out well. the new fee on the gym, we recognized last year when we had the big, I call it the horsey people, but there's a better name for that.
Equine Rescue.
The Equine Rescue event in there where they actually had, it was a fundraiser, they had food, they had the whole bit. And we looked at what the gym rental was, and like, we ended up doing okay with that event, but we hadn't really priced it out. So we moved the, if you're going to do a banquet type event in the gym, we moved it more towards the pricing structure of if you're doing it here in the full assembly hall.
And just to add on to that one, I think that one was an eye-opener for us because in the assembly hall, everything's there. When we have to set up a banquet style in the gym, we have to transport everything from here there. So I think there was about four of us that day moving everything over there. That floor is not meant really for that. We actually end up buying 18 additional tables, I think, because of all the other events and everything going on. So I think it's a good idea, but we have to have a fee for that to be banquet style. We just had a gym fee. Well, in that instance, it's not a gym anymore. It's a banquet hall because we had tables set up and we had food and we had trash. And so that's why it's a new fee.
Yeah, and so that kind of just the logic on where we were proposing the new fee, resident, non-resident, to the public's comment here. We didn't jack up the non-resident too much over the resident because if you look at this like a, you know, and I'm a business guy in prior life, you know, you look at your asset, am I fully utilizing the asset? No, not yet. So don't make that barrier too high. Right. Let's get a little bit more. Now, when next year or whatever, and we decide that the classrooms are always being clamored for and we're fully booked out here, then we start to adjust the pricing to reflect the demand. But I think in a lot of these cases, classroom A and B, you know, with the new technology coming in, I think we can justify a little bit of a higher rate. But again, those aren't rented out all the time, so we want to keep that pretty low. And if you look at, we're going to have TV monitors in there and everything else, $60 for a group to come in. Actually, we've got a homeowners association that's going to start holding their meetings in there on a monthly basis. other things that we can do, charter schools, we want to bring them in to start utilizing that facility. So we're trying to keep it in that attractive area. And again, looking at what El Dorado Hills does, what Folsom is doing for some of their, of course, they have many more buildings and many more options. I think we're really right in line on a lot of that.
And we have to step our game up a little bit, too. Both Classroom A and B were severely lacking. The floors, like, they're probably an inch of old, you know, wax and everything. So all that's cleaned up. Mark's done a great job with that. We've replaced all the bumper rails. We've repainted the walls, changed the color. Like I said, we'll put some technology in there. Those are the things that people are asking for. Before you go in there, you're like, why would I want to rent this? And so we've stepped that up. So we're hoping that that's going to have a return on investment in the way of more people renting.
So some of your deposits have two numbers in them. Why is that?
With and without alcohol.
Okay.
So in the final, we just need to make sure we note that. That's a great question.
Yeah, like, I don't know, an asterisk and a thing at the bottom or something.
Just a side question. So, Assembly and Banquet.
Mm-hmm.
When you so if somebody's going to rent, they sign a contract, correct?
There's a rental agreement.
Rental agreement.
Yeah.
Okay. So if I wanted to rent the gym for a banquet, and I don't know what the occupancy for tables and chairs over there is, but if I was going to bring 1,000 people in there, I'd probably be over-occupied. Yeah. So when you guys stipulate the in the rental agreement, is there an occupant load stipulated in that agreement so they can't go over it?
We have a, when they tell us what how they want it configured, that tells us what the load will be. For banquets, it's pretty much set by the number of tables and chairs we have, and yes, all that's noted out there.
And every room, including the gym and the hall, they have a sign right there.
I know,
and
but it, those people don't necessarily need those.
Yeah, and does the fire marshal poke his head in occasionally and do head counts or anything?
But yeah, I think our applications need to be redone, but that information is on there. Yes.
There's a rental agreement that will spell out how many people are, because we have, you know.
Or at least a statement, will not exceed the posted
occupancy. Okay. I don't know that agreement like the back of my hand, but.
No, I'm just saying, because the more transparent the information is, the better.
Yeah.
Noted.
Now, page two, I just like the color so much. So I
But there's no yellow on page two.
Sorry. let's see. Aquatics. So a lot of work on aquatics, and we spent a lot of time having good discussion on what this looks like. And I think a lot of it came down as that's what we've always done. And so we try to get out of that mantra of, hey, we've always done it that way. So pool rental, up to 100 hourly rate, includes 4 lifeguards, 3-hour minimum. Those are actually pretty popular. And so I think towards the end of school year, when the schools are getting ready to get out, that whole 2 weeks right before they're out, literally almost every single day, there's a different school that's got a party out here. And so those we do very, very well on. And so we didn't change the prices too much in there. I think there's a $15 change or 10.17%. A lot of that just had to do with, obviously, our lifeguards got a little bit of a pay bump. And so we just want to capture that in there. So that's really what that was about.
Is that taken into account? Don't we have another minimum wage increase coming up?
We do, and they're above that, so I think we're good there. But in the next year, that's what we want to talk about later, is do we just put an automatic CPI increase in there? Pool rental, 100-plus people, 6 lifeguards. And we did change the number of lifeguards. I think before it was a few less, but for 100, there's 6 of them. You have to have a couple on the stand, different areas, but you have to have a couple that are in reserve as well. And so that's why we have so many lifeguards out there. And then so we have the same 3-hour minimum. There's a small increase on that one. Those are, like I said, those are popular, and we get a lot of those. One of the new things that we want to do is, and we're borrowing a page out of another CSD down, Elk Grove CSD, or Consumus CSD, they do party packages. And so we had a really good talk about that, saying, hey, we got a great facility here. How can we market this to, you know, families that want to have a party for their kid's birthday or whatever the celebration is? How can we do that? And so that's what you're going to see in these fees here. Obviously, a lot fewer people, fewer lifeguards needed, but they're going to continue to work out what that will include, things like that. So these are all new. So Friday, up to 30 people, up to 3 hours. Recreation swim party, Saturday and Sunday, up to 30 people, up to 4 hours. And then exclusive pool parties, Saturdays and Sundays, that goes up a lot more because we'll have more guards there, but 1 to 50 people, and then 50 to 100 people. So those are all new. We've not had those before, so we'll continue to build those out. A good conversation we had to do with recreation swim and lap swim, and we really want your input on this. So as it stands today, we charge $4 for residents and $5 for non-residents for lap swim. And my question to the team was, well, what's the difference between lap swim and rec swim? And rec swim, in my opinion, or I'm sorry, lap swim, in my opinion, is a little bit more exclusive in that you get your lane and you're doing your thing. There's really nobody to bother you there. The swim team comes in a little bit towards the end there, but they're in their area. Whereas rec swim, you got everybody there, and it's first come, first serve. And then the lane lines are out. So that's kind of a little bit different. But why is there such a difference? And so one of the things we talked about doing is making rec swim and lap swim all the same. I think rec swim is pretty low when you look at it comparatively. I mean, $4 for residents and $5 for non-residents. So I just want to get your guys' thoughts and feedback on that.
I think all of the swim is low.
Was that?
I think all of the swim is low.
I don't disagree.
Even $7 is low.
I don't disagree. Yeah. So we want to get your thoughts because we get a lot of people, and that you're going to hear a lot about that. So I just wanted to have a good discussion on what we thought. You know, we want to raise those fees to you. You look at Folsom, I think Folsom was
$10.
$10.
And we need to cover our costs.
We need to get, well,
yes.
Yes. We're not even remotely close on the pool, yeah. So yeah. So I want to, you know, hear more from you guys. We're doing things, you know, as best we can to reduce costs in the pool, like the, you know, muriatic acid is one of the things, but our costs are going to come to a point and they're going to plateau, and that's going to be what they're going to be. They're not going to get any lower than that.
So, I mean, rec swim and lap swim, if you've got an annual pass, that covers it, correct?
It does.
So raising the fees would potentially encourage people to purchase annual passes?
I think so. That list, when I see the list in the morning, that's the people that don't have an annual pass are going to pay. It's not a very long list. It's not a very long list. So I think you might drive some people away, or you might drive them to annual passes.
Mm-hmm. I don't see why lap swim should be less than rec swim. That's one thing.
Yeah.
I'm curious about the pool party thing with the swim teams and everything else that's going on. Do we even have time to do that?
We do. We would make sure it's programmed in the schedules. There's time that they're not here. We would just put that as part of the schedule. So when the swim team's calendar come out, their schedule comes out, we know we have all the other times, and we would just schedule that through. And they're not there all day, every day.
Brad McMullen, Chairman Port. If I'm on the lap swim and mm-hmm. I paid you the $5, how long do I get to swim? I don't see a time.
There is no time. Our lap swim typically goes from 5 a.m. till...
I think it's 9.
So I can swim all day.
I think it's 7. They're usually gone by 7, 7:30. They're about wrapped up.
For two hours.
Yeah. So I would include a description of what that buys.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Either 6 to 8 or 2 hours prior to whatever. Otherwise, mm-hmm. I look at that and go, I can swim all day for $5.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Bring his cooler down here, chair.
Right? Umbrella.
I'm just going to laugh, swim.
Good point.
On my retire. So, I am the one that has brought this up in the past, but I assume the swim teams, you negotiate a contract.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. In the current negotiations for those contracts, is there a stipulation of residents versus non-residents?
No, so we asked for the rosters. We've not got to that finite piece where we say, hey, you need to pay this and pay this. We are in that process right now.
Okay, so you're moving towards get a roster of who's resident, who's not, and then negotiate the price for that. Okay, good. Yeah. Because if they were all non-residents, they need to pay a higher than for residents.
Yeah, they're definitely not all non-residents.
Yeah,
but I hear you.
Okay, thanks.
Just a quick comment. The $10 for the rec swim Saturday and Sunday, 4 hours. I'm not saying it's unreasonable. I'm sure it is reasonable. You might get some pushback on that. Somehow it's psychological.
I agree. when it hits the 10, yeah.
I don't know, you know why. I mean, obviously, at that point, you need to encourage a family pass to offset these type of costs, assuming they come more than once. Mm-hmm, but. Mm-hmm. It strikes me as kind of one of those.
I think you're right. I think if we had other attractions there, i.e. The slide, that you can charge more with the slide.
Yeah.
Or if we had shade out there, you can charge more with shade out there. So that might be something for us to consider. Maybe we don't move that high now until we get additional attractions.
But if you look at it's $8 for 2 hours, so $4 an hour. So
yeah.
So then you're getting 4 hours for $10. That's not even 4 hours an hour.
I'm not saying it's unreasonable. I just people are how they are.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't think it's crazy, but I think $10 will be a barrier for some folks to say that's too much. But
yeah.
But when we put new attractions out there, maybe they'll come back.
Well, even having the commissary thing open for people.
Oh, the concession stand. Yes.
In itself makes it kind of a more pleasant experience.
I don't disagree.
Where are these prices in line with El Dorado Hills or also?
the parties.
Well, just the swim part.
Oh, the swim part. I think Folsom. The last I checked, they were at 10. They're there. They're already there, and they have like a punch card or something like that where you get so many. But we don't have that. We have the either pay per day or you pay for an annual pass and you can come every single day over the year. So we might need to look at some other things in between. And the punch card is just something else to manage, which is kind of why we stay away from that. And honestly, we have in the morning, it's not staff that's out there. We have a 15 or 16 year old lifeguard that's taking payment. So that's, I think, putting more in them is probably not a good idea.
Well, personally, I think these bottom ones are too inexpensive.
Okay.
Definitely the lap swim for sure.
Yeah.
So you're suggesting a change to the lap swim?
At least bring it up to where the rec swim is. Okay. And
okay.
Yeah.
So seven. I'm sorry.
And actually, why is it? Why is the rec swim? Why is it the same for residents and non-residents?
You know, I'll pass that. Yeah, I'll ask Clarissa tomorrow. I'll give clarity on that one.
It's the same now. I'm wondering if she just bumped both up.
Yeah, that might be. Okay, well, we'll ask on that one.
Moving on.
All right. Okay, we're moving to park rental fees. Mark.
All right. So similar logic as when we looked at the at the facilities, although on the sports fields, you need to understand that the majority of the use of the sports fields is done through MOUs with the athletic groups. So while this is important, it's not as big of a factor as these MOUs, and I think we need to have another discussion separately about what we're doing, MOU pricing. Actually, I think we talked about it in one of the board meetings where the user groups have a monthly max. And when you calculate that monthly max versus the number of hours that they're using the fields, it's about $3.50 an hour. It's ridiculous. Nothing, which is why we struggle to maintain our fields to the quality that I think everybody would like.
Well, that's not per person either, by the way. It's $3.50
for the whole field. Yeah, I mean, yes. I can't water it.
Yes.
So with that as the background, what we did is we looked at those that are coming in, and we've had a few. We had actually Ed Carr rented one of the, I'm going to say the wrong, Rasmussen. They rented one of the Rasmussen ball fields, and they had a kickball tournament for the Ed Carr.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we need to do more of that. But given the fact that, you know, we need to also keep in line with if you can go somewhere else and rent the fields. Eldorado Hills, their average grass field rents for $95 an hour. Actually, for the first 2 hours, and then $65 every hour after that. We just decided to be under that. I hate to say it. It pains me, but our grass fields are not in the same condition.
Our fields are not their fields.
As their grass. Yeah. I mean, their grass fields are, even though they're grass, they're still pretty darn nice. So I think just a minor increase over where we are now, resident, non-resident.
Does 9% cover the increase in EID rate?
It's close. I was just, ironically, looking at all of my LLADs that are getting close to being underwater, and the biggest impact of those that had fields, i.e. Dave West and Eastwood, the damn water bill. So, but I don't charge for that. But that's why, you know, we're looking at, you know, 9%. Krista, if you'll look at it, I have bumped that fairly sizable amount because we do use a ton of water at Krista, much more than we're doing at the other ones. So I did bump that one up. And Krista is really used almost year-round now. And in the winter months, it gets torn up pretty bad. So it requires additional maintenance in there. We did add a new fee for Krista McAuliffe T-Ball. Talking with Little League, they would even be interested in renting that out separately than the whole field. Because they don't really, T-Ball, let's face it, they don't hit the ball very far. So we can rent that out. It does require that we get in there, and I talked to the Pondo Little League about getting a work crew out there, kind of a joint effort, making the baselines a little bit more defined and all that. So they used to be that way. They're not that way now, but they can go back because there's even a backstop there. Mm-hmm. Dave West Field, a little bit of an increase. Again, there's a lot of grass out there, more than I had. You know, I've been out there a bunch, and I looked at it, and I looked at that green that's outside of the home run fence. I'm like, darn it, you could play, you know, 6v6 soccer out there, which we now have a small Here's soccer.
Ball.
On the grass? or are you saying pave it over?
No, let them figure it out.
Okay, there you go. So in that regard, so we're going to add a small soccer field rental out there. I think also, you know, a church group may want to go out there and rent it, and, because there's a couple of goals out there, and they could have some fun with that. Again, it's not an exorbitantly high price, and frankly, because it doesn't get used that much, it's actually in pretty good shape. The other area that we spent a lot of time looking at is out at the lake. We have the tennis courts. They're really not utilized. They have a very heavy period of time in that early morning, and then it kind of dies down. I think if we were to raise that too much, we just might hurt ourselves. We don't do a lot on maintenance. The tennis players would love it if we did more. But I think at this point in time, we kind of just stay where we're at. The gazebo rental, we have moved that up fairly high. We find that we are out there similar to when we rent out the whole assembly hall. We're out there before, during, and then after. We are having to clean it. We go back to our early conversation about the geese. We do a lot of cleaning of goose droppings in and around that gazebo. And I think it's a beautiful setting. It's a great gazebo. I think we are underpriced in comparison to what they get at Blackstone and Promontory in Eldorado Hills. So I think that's a fair amount. We book that out fairly regularly, and I don't think any increase is going to hurt our ability to do that. We've also looked at, and once upon a time, we used to have different picnic rental areas out there. One was called the Flagpole. We're going to make them a little bit more picnic area A, B, and C, or A and B. The gazebo has its own area. That's where the barbecues are, up against those bushes. So we're going to introduce some additional areas that we can rent out. Maybe somebody doesn't want the whole gazebo, but they want 5 picnic tables and a barbecue that they can use. So we want to do that. The gate access entry fee that's in here, I guess that's to be discussed. Do we want to do a gate?
We do. In fact, it was in here, and it looks like it got removed somehow. But we talked about that, and we decided on $75 was the annual parking pass, if you will. And then also on the Cameron Park late courtesy gate access fee, we just wanted to talk more about what that fee is going to be. I think we talked about that being very close to the same as like the senior rate. So the $75 now would be $82, and that would be the courtesy gate access fee.
So then the park, you're saying the $75 parking pass, shouldn't that be in the annual pass?
It should be, yes. I saw it wasn't in there. We did put it in, I thought, but it got missed or pulled out. It was there.
Move from
but
one.
Yeah,
and
we talked
the
about
other.
Making that. So
maybe that's
an annual
where the
pass.
HOA does, because that's an annual fee as well.
Yes, we could put both of those there.
Good call.
One of the things we're talking about also is I got correspondence from a group that wants to bring back more disc golf out there, and they're talking about having an annual disc golf pass. I guess my thoughts on that is we don't want to have all these different passes, because then you have to create each different pass, and it becomes a nightmare, right? And so I think what we want to do is, yes, please buy an annual pass, or if they only want to go out there, let them buy a parking pass, and that at least gets them off the streets inside, and you're getting something where right now we're not getting a penny. So that's kind of the thought process behind that. And then we still want to work with the disc golf group. They said today they want to kind of reform the course and things like that. I'm like, yeah, great. Let's have that conversation, and let's see how much money you're going to bring towards that effort. But I do think that we will capture a lot of them if we did an annual parking pass.
Yeah. The last one on that list is Northview. If you're familiar with the park, it's actually one of our neatest parks. It's got the shade canopy over the top. There is a picnic table there. I think with some additional work, we could make that a rentable space. It's not very crowded. There's ample parking along the streets. There's no parking lot, but there's still ample parking. so I think if we put it in the book of fees and make it an option, I bet you we will start to rent it out. And then advertising in the park, we currently don't do. We allow our MOU partners, Little League and all of them, to put up their banners. But it could be a revenue opportunity for us. Just need to kind of get a temperature on. Once you start it, you got to have a very strong framework around how are you going to manage it, how long is it for. With Little League, it's during their season that they're playing. They're allowed to do it on certain fences and not others. So we would have to do something in there. But right now, I guess it's a discussion point. Do you think it's worth pursuing that? Something I don't believe I've never heard that we've ever done it before.
I think the challenge is if we do it, Mark's right, it's just going to be more work, because if we do it, then we have to go out and make sure that the folks that are paying for the time out there are getting that time and not all these others that are popping up not paying anything. So it's just more staff time to patrol it. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I think it's a good idea, but I think it's too much to do right now for this.
Totally
this
agree.
Version.
Yeah,
like,
agree.
Let's put it on the list
yep.
of projects.
Okay.
Yep. Next time.
I like it. Thank you. Thank
you.
Thank you. I thought you might.
Just my opinion.
Yeah. No, I'm already going chasing people. There's that vacant lot next to us over Dave West by the fire lot between us. And people post signs there all the time.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's district property.
So. I had a campaign. I think I was in.
Any questions on that one?
Anything
else? Oh, Brett?
You got him. You do? Okay.
I haven't started yet. Just for the record, tennis is placed on grass, played on grass, so pickleball can be played on grass. Anyway, just a point of clarity.
No, we can't actually.
Wimbledon. I think it's the condition.
It is played on grass.
Okay.
Have you been on one of my fields?
So, that leads me to Eastwood Park.
Mm-hmm.
Rentals for that.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to go there.
No. Well, here's my. I'm not talking rentals. I'm talking the water, because I've walked that area, and that lawn is watered way too much. I don't know. It's soggy. You try to walk, it's soggy. There's too much water being applied to that lawn. I don't know.
Pretty shady.
It is pretty shady, yeah. And it. I'd take density meter readings and make sure that you're not putting too much water on there. So
yeah, it's a battle because of the slope of it, but we are looking at actually changing out because you, I don't know the streets there, but to the north side, I guess, kind of slopes down there, and that's usually the soggy area. We're looking at changing out the irrigation heads, kind of like what you do on a drip system. You have 0.5 gallons per minute and all that.
Control the output. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so because they're all on timers and the way it was laid out, I wish I had better zone control, but I don't.
Understood.
So we're going to change out some of the heads to see if that helps us with that.
All right. And back to the advertisements, I totally concur about that concept, but not here.
Mm-hmm.
I think here you could advertise on the fence around the pool.
Oh.
And control it phenomenally. As long as you have a policy about what you can say, how you can say it, who's going to approve it.
Who's going to put it up and take it down?
I think the big one for us is not just any random person. I think that would probably be limited to like our swim teams, and you bake that into their cost. The other thought was we've got their monitors, and as we get more, that would be where anybody can have advertising on there. Maybe it's Edcar, maybe it's Rotary, and they get so much time that goes onto the screen, whether it's a video, or we get Cal Fire videos on there. That would be more of the advertising that we're looking at for here.
What I've seen when I played Little League back in the day.
A long time ago.
They had like a spec.
I played Little League before you.
You win. Oh, wow.
My brothers played it before either of you
did. You win.
You had to almost like purchase the banner through like a vendor that like they had to get approval, and then they had like the Cameron Park CSD, like the logo would be in it.
Yeah.
That way it's like, that one's a legit one. Yeah. And then you get, you know, the space between these two poles.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be like, you know, number one, number two, number three.
I think it's kind of a good idea, but I think it's going to be a pain in your derrier to manage it. So
we just spend a lot of money and paint out there too.
I don't think you have enough money to make it work.
I agree.
Yeah.
What's the
definition? Tennis is played on grass.
So. All day.
Where are you looking?
At the lake, Cameron Park Lake.
Oh,
there's all day rentals.
Dust it on, basically. So when it, so the signs still say yes. Yeah. It's very cheap.
Inexpensive.
And we'll have to, obviously, I think as more things go out there and we get more demand, we're going to have to adjust that to blocks of time.
Yeah. We do if we have I think it's happened just once where we were lucky with somebody wanted it kind of in the morning to the midday, and then somebody midday to afternoon. We'll book it twice, but that doesn't come up often.
So the next one is number 5, section 5, and it's fire, and there's lots of stuff on this one. Mm-hmm. Chief, hit the big ones.
Yes, Director Gilchrist.
Why is the return check for non-spacious funds $12 when it's $35
on the front page? That was a template. It will be coming up.
I did not do any of the administrative.
So what you're saying, when we built these, I built one and copied them.
Okay.
And then, that's why. That's funny.
That was my first question, too.
So the biggest thing here is we did not change the the hourly rate. Right? So that is your, everything's driven off of that hourly rate. So what we did is modified, like, so here, for the example, first one, initial consultation prior flow, that's an hour and a half. So instead of doing $234 an hour, and then when they leave, like, well, we were here for an hour and 26 mm-hmm. minutes, so that's, you know, we're just, nope, it's 351, which is that, you know, 234 times 1.5. And then the same thing with all of your subdivisions. So, you know, 234 an hour we had on there, with, and then all the hours that are kind of concurrent with it. So this would be your 2 hours, your 3 hours, 4 hours. And so everything's kind of taken in that. The only couple ones, and I think Chief Johnson or General Manager.
I can hit them.
Have some adjustments to some CPI stuff. So I didn't.
Yeah, so then that, and you're spot on. The 234 is the hourly rate. However, we did apply
hourly.
We did apply the 3%, and you can see that reflected.
So the proposed fees are flat fees.
Yes.
Yes.
A couple of them are some hourly, of them. Just because of the.
Yes.
But I think just for ease of what was happening is, like, people would come to a project and then we wouldn't know what to charge them up front. Mm-hmm. Right, so sometimes it'd be an hour, so an hour and a half, 2 hours, half hour, and so you just look at the averages of those, and then it helps us with when we're billing for these, we bill at the front, mm-hmm. and then if it goes over, then there's resubmittal fees and other things. But we've had projects where people will, you know, go back and plan check 6 or 7 times, and finally go, I don't have to bill this, I'm out, and then they don't pay.
Yeah,
right.
So exactly. You spent all that time.
And then some new ones. Like a TI resubmittal fee, you know, that one, we had a resubmittal fee, right? And we would just kind of use generic. So this actually kind of pins them down because they're different, right? A TI submittal, resubmittal is different than just a generic, like building a house or something like that. And then the bigger ones, so like our fire, our minor modification for TI, that's actually going to be, you know, an hour plan review and an inspection, right? So we put those 2 hours in there. New fee for spray booths. We were just using generic permitting for that, but actually had it listed. Same cost, it's just for capturing it so it's spelled out. So someone doesn't know, well, what's, you know, other. Or, modified flat fees for all of the LPG stuff. Residential plan review, flat fee.
Can you just kind of tell us what category you're in as we go?
So we've got to
keep up with you. That's okay.
So we have development, which we went through, a commercial plan review, and then we're still in commercial plan review. So spray booth is new. The medical gas, hazardous materials, all of that, we just utilized, you know, how many hours that cost to do. And then flat feed them instead of just doing it by hour. And with that, you know, we're going to be under on some and over on some, but the amount of time it takes to have to track all of those hours, it's almost, you know, unattainable. Mm-hmm. So, residential care facilities or residential plan reviews now, flat feed those. And there's some adjustments for the CPIU. Water tank, rural water system. So these are new, newer, and we didn't have those in our fee schedule, mm-hmm. so we added those. Same thing on the hourly. So that 585 captures that, you know, 2.5 hours. Residential fire safe plan. So that's for us to review those, which we're getting quite a bit. And then we did flat fee for the underground LPG. And then new, so we did not have a breakdown on our residential sprinkler systems with how many heads they were. It was captured in commercial, so we mirrored it similarly. I mean, if you have, because...
Do you really need that many heads for residential?
No, but I mean, I... You never know. And it depends, like, you know, so what could happen is, let's say we do an ordinance change or the fire code changes where they can do residential sprinkler systems in apartment complexes. So that would be a residential review. So, and that's where you can kind of get netted up a little bit, like, well, this says residential, this is a residential occupancy.
Right.
Okay.
We don't allow those currently, but who knows in the future. General plan review fees, those are just for ones that are like just random ones that are not captured in something specific, and then our expedited planner review fee additional 50%. And then, so our occupancy inspections, this one was a lot more robust. We basically just had occupancy inspections and just had a straight up occupancy inspection. So we broke it down. Mo helped me kind of expand on some of these ones. So we have our state mandated inspections, including your place of assembly, your schools, hotels, motels, and apartments. So with the hotels and motels, we flat feed, and then we took the same thing with apartment units. Instead of just your base hourly, and we just took, okay, well, for a 13-unit apartment complex, it's taking 2 hours. For a, you know, at the Knolls, it's 100 or 200 mm-hmm. something mm-hmm. apartments. That's taking me, you know, a lot more hours, 8 hours, right? Right. So that it's by unit, but it's still the same base fee. And then I calculated basically what it was per unit, the average, and it's $10 per unit after 100. So, and that gives you, I mean, if you do a 200 unit, it's almost exactly double what the 100 unit one was. State licensed facilities, so our fire clearance pre-inspections, 468, and then special event permits, same thing, 2 hours basically. Wildland urban interface inspections that Alex worked on. Mo, do you want me to cover it, or did you?
Yeah, so he's already doing the AB38s. I think you guys were doing the AB38, so they've transferred that over, and Alex is doing AB38s now. We applied the same thing. You see the adjustment for CPIU, which was 3%. It went from 234 to 241. The difference between a defensible space inspection homeowner request is just that one is to sell your house or buy a house. The other one is just, hey, I'm requesting this defensible space inspection. So that's what that is. Additional re-inspections, we basically took, well, how much time do we think that it would really take them, and we just halved it. So we took the 234 and we cut that one in half. And we might adjust that one a little bit more, but that's where we're at right now. The other one that's on there is weed hazard abatement services. We might try to make that a little bit more clear, but it really is your actual cost. We don't know what that's going to be until we go out and say, this property needs to be abated. We have four or five companies, you know, bid on that project, and say it's $15,000. Well, it'll be $15,000 plus the 20%, which is our administrative, you know, cost on top of that, because we have got to go back out, we have to go back out and make sure it's done, and then we also have to RFP the letters and all of those things. That's why it's in there.
That was a good one, because, I mean, we've got these projects that were, you know, $80,000 project. Mm-hmm. Multiple, we're out there a ton. They have questions and have to do all those things, so it's good to capture this. Yep. You done, Chief?
Yes, sir.
All right. Other fees, so our fire watch, and we looked at our staffed apparatus, staffed utility. We went off of the Cal OES rates, which actually Chief and I are going to be re-looking at again to capture some of the costs that Cal Fire increased. But that's, we're taking the cost that, or the methodology that we get reimbursed when our engine goes on incident. So that's a very accepted fee. Mm-hmm. Appeals fee.
And if we can just go back to it. So Firewatch, you know, it might be, we're at an incident and the insurance company or the owner or somebody wants us to hold that, or we're waiting for ATF, or we're waiting for somebody else and we need to hold that property, and or we require a fire watch. Your alarm is down. We're going to require you to have a fire watch so they can have us, or they can have somebody who's certified to do that. And this is just the rate that it would be for that. We did put in, and this is one of the ones we talked about adjusting, is based on the 5%, the increase from the Cal Fire agreement, we applied that 5% on those that are specific to staffing, because that just made sense. Otherwise, we're going to start to fall behind there. So that was a change on those.
Right. Additional site inspections. And then we changed the verbiage, outside fire protection review and inspection services. So this just said consulting fee before, and it, almost every person asked, like, what is this, right? I didn't consult with anyone.
Yep.
It's like, well, no. So that really just, I think, gives us a lot more explanation.
I think it was more of a catch-all for us.
Yes.
Because, I mean, I think it's well known, we use a contractor to do a lot of these inspections and some of those things, and so it is kind of a pass-through there. But we were putting consulting. Well, what does that mean? And so now this is actually what they're doing, and they'll see that on their invoice as opposed to consulting.
Let's see, referral, inspections, non-compliant occupancy, these are new fees, re-inspection, non-compliant, inspections outside normal business hours, so it's like you're going to do an inspection at 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. for some weird reason. It is an increase. We removed hydrant fire flow test. We will not do that anymore. EID will, and if it's a private system, we'll make someone have to go do it and provide us with the report. Those days are gone. I'm not going to have done them.
Forever.
And then additional hydrants, that's basically fire flow test is, you know, hydrant test is one, and then every additional hydrant, that kind of couples with it. So those are gone. Carnivals, fairs, permits, fireworks, special events, that's explosives, LPG, all of those are remaining the same. Our cryo and LPG take inspection the same. Aviation facilities, Christmas tree lots, so we didn't have those listed. Those would have just been under some random, you know, special event or something different. And then we have our first responder fee to be determined, and then a lift assist fee. And that one is geared towards the commercial facilities that provide that service. That's why you're there. So if I live at a facility that assists in living and I fall down, they assist me back up. Instead of utilizing the fire department to basically just subcontract it for on the backs of the taxpayers, those are becoming more and more and more and more and more and more and more common. So this would encourage them to not utilize us for something that they provide and you're already paid for.
Well, it's a great deterrent. I mean, this happens.
Commercial, but not like residential.
Well, I hear you. Yes. I hear you go to Ponte Palmero.
I was just going to say, Ponte Palmero. We go to a number of places, and I think in any fire department you do, you know the place, and it's always to go help somebody. And we don't mind doing that, but when you have three or four people standing around, and we've had firefighters wrench their backs, and those kind of things. It's like, Tama, you guys have three, four able-bodied people. Why can't you do this? And they're paying you a lot of money to take care of them. But then the taxpayers are coming in to do what they're getting paid to do. That was the purpose and intent of that. Not for private residences. We did talk about that, and we said, no, this is really for some of those the super utilizer facilities.
And what we've seen is, it's interesting, so we had the first responder fee, which is deterred medical use or, you know, in these facilities. Because, you know, if my mom's there, I'm like, why am I getting a bill every other week?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why didn't you call right. me? I can take her to the doctor kind of thing. Well, then this is just anecdotal, but then they started calling for lift assists a lot more.
Yeah.
Right? Because like, oh, well, if I call for a lift assist, then they won't get the fee for the medical aid, which actually is incorrect because it's based on that. But that was, I think there's, you know, there's some connection. So
yeah.
I think I personally think it's a fantastic idea. And it will recover some of our costs.
If we go back to the first responder fee, the reason why you don't see a number in there is because that's kind of it's a separate one. We will be bringing that back, but that's done by ordinance. And so we'll have to revise that ordinance, which will inform what this fee is going to be. That's why you don't see it in there today. I will tell you that we're at $215, which is well below what that should be, and that was based on some of the CAL FIRE fees and how it was calculated at the time. Not that anything was done wrong, it's just how it was calculated at the time. So with our consultant now we're working with, we're looking at our total cost of services, our CAL FIRE contract, annual contract, and you look at you know, the cost for the engine, you look at the cost for the people on the engine and all of those, the administrative costs, that number will be going up significantly. At least that's going to be what our recommendation is. We also looked at where others are at in the region, and the agency just to our east, I won't name names, but they're $315. I look at an agency to the south in another county, they're at $356. This first responder fee in California ranges from about where we're at. We're definitely on the low side, all the way up to $1,200 per call. Well, thank goodness we're nowhere near there. Was that wrong? But
that's if you're in Bel Air, apparently.
Around San Ramon.
I think it was just an oversight before. They looked at what the CAL FIRE employees cost, but they didn't look at what they cost you guys to pay for us, right? Like, oh, well, what about the retirement, healthcare, all that stuff? Because the district wasn't paying that directly. It's basically a pass-through. So that means, I would bet you got like 50%.
That's exactly.
Which brings you right up to where the other ones are.
It'll likely be in the 320
to 350. So will you have that before the board meeting?
We're working on that, yes. We're going to work hard on getting that to you. For sure. And so, again, we just wanted to give plenty of notice that we're not trying to hide from that. It absolutely needs to be adjusted. It's going to take some time.
So on the first page, the plan review fees, you have like two 14-cent fees and one that went from 7 cents to $241. What is that?
I can explain what it is. Is that's going from a per square foot to a flat. I remember putting that in, and I saw the percentage going, ooh, that's a big change.
It's just one of them that goes from cents to, because it was square footage.
Yes.
Okay. We just went flat feet on that one.
Yep. And can we just put, like, in the notes what that means? Cause
sure.
Yeah, there will be I believe in the book of fees, it will have, you know, flat fee versus per square foot.
Okay.
And then have an hourly.
All
right.
Now, like in the parks, you've got a unit column that says per hour.
Yes. Yeah. No, that's a good one, though. That's a big increase.
Yeah, just sort of.
Yeah. Be lots of zeros on that one, right?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, public comment?
Same guy as before.
Could you say that louder?
Same guy as before. Couple. Questions. The 234 is total comp, right?
Yeah, that's the from the Nexus study that was done in
2017,
and then we redid it again in 23-24, I believe.
Okay.
Good. I'm not looking at that.
22-23, maybe.
Yeah.
The
last Nexus was 19.
Okay, 17-19, but then we did another one internally in 2 years ago.
Got
right
it.
Now. So
okay.
22-23. We were really low.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's
way,
low.
Yeah, way.
It still is low, yeah.
First responder fees.
Mm-hmm.
Have you studied how many patients were billed versus how many paid?
That's something we can get from our partner Whitman. We'll get that one. It's kind of skewed because you have what you call Medi patients, and so if they're Medi-Cal, Medicare, you know, you waive those fees, and that's just the law. You also can't discriminately bill, so you can't just say, "Oh, we're not going to send them bill." Everybody has to get a bill regardless of their ability to pay. And then if we use our compassionate billing policy, we're allowed to waive some of those, but everybody gets a bill. So we'll have to go and work with Whitman to see how much we billed, how much was written off because of Medi or others, and then how many were private pays, and then how many were insurance pays. That's likely the report that we'll look for.
Okay. So Medi-Cal and Medicaid.
Medi-Cal, Medicare, yeah.
Medi-Cal.
Yeah. Yes.
Medicare
or
Medi-Cal.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. They are. You have to bill them, but it's waived.
Okay. I'm really sad. You don't do flow testing. That was fun.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. I loved it.
Yeah, they just have a computer system that just tells you what all the hydrogen.
So it models it.
Yeah. So it's pretend.
No it is. There's no water flowing.
It's a pedo out.
Format suggestion. Under other fees, under Firewatch services, I might suggest make that two rows, Firewatch services, one staffed app, 2 hour minimum, and the second row, Firewatch services, one staffed app.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Because the first time I looked at that, I go, oh, they're not even charging. Oh, wait a minute. So one staffed apparatus versus one staffed utility. That way you get rid of a row, and it's, I think, easier to understand.
Brad, say that one more time for me.
Okay, so instead of three rows,
okay,
two rows. First row, Firewatch services dash one staff.
Apple. Oh, I see what you're saying. Gotcha.
2 hour minimum.
Okay,
and that's an hourly too. It's $361 an hour, I believe, right?
Yes.
Not flat.
No, that is not flat. Okay.
Yeah,
no,
so
I gotcha.
You need your unit column then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Three.
So.
And yes, and again, this is just a tracking document that will be clearer in here. Yeah.
Reacting to what I think should be. So, just a suggestion.
Any comment? Okay. Not much we can talk about.
Not much we can talk about on that one. That is set by the vote.
Yeah.
There's big changes on this one. There'll likely be some more. I'm still working cleaning this up a little bit. I was trying to make this easier for the citizen. We had a lot of different fees, and I just collapsed them really into one. So when you look at property improvement, we're in section 7, ARC. We just grouped all of those kind of miscellaneous fees. They were all the same anyway, so we just made it one. So you look at above ground pool spa, that is your Doughboy pools. There was an anomaly that we had, and where I think if somebody was replacing their liner in their pool, and we end up, somebody use a miscellaneous code, which that's not a thing. So that's still an above ground spa pool. So if you're pulling a permit, which the county requires you to do, it's still a $100 fee to look at that piece. Arbors, backup generators, again, these were all separate. Basketball court, and we're talking about not like a hoop in your driveway. You're talking about putting a basketball court in your backyard. That's what that's meant to be. Car or trailer port, we're getting a lot more of those, so we put trailer in there as well. Deck, driveway extension, exterior paint, all these again, guys, were separate. They're all the same. Flat work, any concrete work, gazebo, landscaping, miscellaneous projects, that's kind of a catch-all. Patio cover, play structure, privacy, and we put screening in there, privacy wall and screening, because we have a lot of those to where they can't get their boat or their RV behind, and so we're allowing them to do some screening in front of that, whether that's with a bush or a wall or some kind of screening material, so we want to make sure we put that in for approval. Retaining wall, roof replacement, RV pad, those are all the same. Another change that you'll see on here is the sheds or enclosed rooms under 120 square feet, siding and sports court. Again, that was another one. A question came up today about batting cages. That's not the level that we're getting down to. I'm talking about if you're pouring concrete, an all-weather surface kind of a deal, that would be applied here. If you're putting a batting cage in your backyard, it's in dirt, it's in the grasses there, no, that's not the intent. Exterior renovation, we pulled that out, not made it separate. Anything that you see that is scratched out, that means it is put up above. And so we checked every one of those, and all of those are applied above, which is why you see them struck out. Solar panels was a conversation. I know we had a conversation at ARC recently. I actually put it back in there because I went to the county's website, and they're still doing them and requiring them. I went to Eldorado Hills' website, and they're still on their ARC. So I think until we get something in writing, I asked Jim today, do we get that in writing? He goes, no, somebody kind of told me that was coming. I'm like, well, that doesn't count. So we're still going to do it until we get something in writing from the county that says we don't. So that's kind of the plan there. Sheds above 120 square feet, we added that one on there. Let's see. And you know what? Below 120 square feet. That one is already above. So that's why that one's on there. I just didn't scratch that one out for some reason. Fence. Room addition within the existing footprint. We added addition or remodel within existing footprint. It was a new language we put in there. And then we have the new section, which is below, which wasn't there before. Addition or remodel includes an ADU or JADU, which was separate. We now just incorporated that into this same category. And it's a remodel outside of the existing footprint, or remodel with a roof line change, sheds, or rooms greater than 120 square feet. That's all written into there. Oops. On my pen. We're good. That's really the big changes in this one. A lot of this was really just to clarify things and make it a little bit more streamlined and easier to read. I will take any questions you may have.
Got nothing.
Is 3% really worth it?
For?
I mean, you're only adding $3 and $7. I mean, is that really covering our cost increase?
So I think what we were trying to do is tie it to something, and so that's why we use CPIU, because it's there, it's published, you know, several times a year, and that's why we use that one.
It was a $20,000 deficit last year.
I get it.
It's got to be tied to study or something
right.
like this.
You have to.
You can't do that.
I think
that
we can continue.
That we were really low to begin with, and so
well, I don't disagree.
To bring it up to
market rate.
I don't disagree. I think we would do a study, and I know we would be doing the Nexus study. That might be something that we look at, and then that might be a next year's adjustment. I would just have a hard time justifying, unless we were to take total expenses, and man, that'd be hard to figure out that way too.
And then I want to go back to CCNR.
Yeah.
Only because it caught me. What about a CCNR appeal? Someone appeals their CCNR.
Yeah, that's a good question.
You've got it under ARC.
Yeah.
$65.
You might need to look at that one because this one's established by vote, but we might have to be like an administrative. We do that on the administrative side. Let me look into that one a little bit more. Good catch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Public.
Same guy as before. just for clarification, under property improvements, under landscaping,
yes.
I assume that means that if I build a new home and I have bare dirt and I'm going to build new landscaping, that's what that means.
Yes. Or it could mean that you have a bunch of grass and you want to go to drought tolerant and we're going to put something else in there, that change. Or say that's going to be a major change up front where you're trying to get to that zone zero, the ember-free zone. You want to rip out all of the shrubbery and put something in there in that zone zero. It could mean that as well. So if you're making a change to your landscaping, what's that?
People don't come for you to for that.
Oh, I know they don't.
Would you need permit required, right?
Yes.
Anything that would require a permit from the county?
Right. Me tearing out two plants in my front yard doesn't require a permit.
I'm not talking about two plants, but I think that's where it hits more on the CCNR side of things. Because if you are making those changes, it just depends on what your CC's on the CCNR said.
It's like above ground pool. If you go buy it.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to think of the simple stuff. Like, if I want to tear the lawn out and put rocks there, the county doesn't require a permit for that.
Right. But it might be in your CCNRs, and actually it might be through the county.
Well, anyway, in regards to fencing, is that, again, a new development and I'm putting the fence around, or if I have some rotten boards and I'm changing boards,
like for like is not permit required.
Yeah,
it would be okay. I'm taking my 3 foot chain link and I'm putting a 6 foot dog.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. That's pretty generic. That's why I'm asking that because somebody could say, well, you're putting in a 5 foot metal fence for the 0 to 5 zone.
Right.
Well, there was already a fence there to start with, so I'm not adding or deleting.
What drives these is someone goes to the county and gets a permit, and then ARC gets a ping in the county system that it requires an inspection or a permit required or review. Then they come here and say, hey, I need to get a sign off from ARC. That's what's driving it. So if they do it unpermitted, that's a county code enforcement or CCNR.
Well, it does hit, like I said, the CCNR side of things. If you have a new fence that you put up and you want to paint it fluorescent green, that's going
to
be an issue.
You'll have to
get
CCNR violation.
That'll go through the CCNR committee.
Okay.
I'm painting my fence pink.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Yeah.
Yeah.
CCNRs also say I can't have a flagpole, and that's against my First Amendment right. So it would not be.
What CCNR say you can't have a flagpole?
It says you can't fly a flag and you can't have a flagpole.
Hey, you guys voted on that.
Huh? Where is that?
Eastwood
Park.
However,
we do have
them. But the crazy thing is not crazy thing, but
anyway.
We are just the enforcing body.
Yeah.
The citizens vote for that.
Yeah. Well, also attorneys take blanket templates and then they don't make any sense.
Okay. Did you
get
any comments? Alright, so what's our action? We're going to finish the update and take this to the board?
Yeah, we'll finish the update, we'll clean it all up, we'll take your suggestions back, we'll bring this full to the board. It's already posted, the language is posted. We'll have a hearing, second hearing, I think.
We have a hearing in November and December.
No, because we only have to have one. We already had one, okay, technically. One. But we will be opening it up for, we just did a discussion last time, but the official hearing will be at this next meeting. And it's already been published in the newspaper. Okay. So this will be the official. We'll work our darndest to get the first responder fee. That's going to be an ordinance change. And I need to look at the timelines. I don't know if we can do that this meeting or if it has to be the next, but I'll look at all that.
Okay. October check register. Any comments?
I have nothing.
I Bailey. Yes. So what is the plan for I Bailey? They're in here at $6,400. Is that for a whole year? Does consulting FY25-6?
And I thought we were. Where are you looking?
The bottom of page 8 of the check register. I thought we were maybe not considering using them again.
Yeah, we're going to have to use them to some extent because they're so tied to all of our previous audits. And so we will be using them. I'll be bringing to the board another agreement with them. We won't be using them to the extent that we were using them before, but I do think that consistency is important.
Is that just for the audits?
Just for the audits. So we're not using them for day-to-day items like we were in the past, but I can tell you with a number of things that have, the anomalies that have come up, we need that historical knowledge on all of it. That's why we need to keep them for a little bit.
And so is this an annual fee, because it does say FY25-6.
I think that was, let's see, 10-2. That might be what they've done thus far on the audit. We're already moving down the audit path with them.
But it wouldn't be an audit for 25-6. It'd be an audit for 24-5.
It would be 24-25. I'll find out. Okay. I'll find out for sure on that one. I don't know what that means.
Public comment, sorry.
Yeah, hi.
Me again. Sorry.
It's all right. I know you guys have a lot of legal issues this past year, and I know the law firm you've hired is a very good law firm. But are your fees, total fees, are going to, you anticipate for the rest of the year being in the neighborhood of what's going on right now? Because... Well, one of the bills for July and August from Best Best and Krieger was $8,600.
That's a lot.
Yeah, we've had some significant issues. We've had some normal issues, a lot of cleanup policies, those kind of things, but we also still have a personnel issue we're working through right now, and so that will likely remain the same at least for another couple months.
Do you guys need to do an adjustment to your budget anymore?
We will likely look at, I don't think we're horrible on that right now, but we will likely do or request a budget adjustment at mid-year, but right now we're just tracking where we're at on that one.
Okay.
Yeah. That might go up based on other conversations. We know we have to get to annexation of SOI areas. An attorney will have to be involved in that. We haven't even got to that point yet. There's just a couple other things, so it's going to be another high year. Question.
Okay. Annual comprehensive financial report.
Nikki has actually begun working on that one. So the only report I have for you is she's moving down that path. And this will be for the prior year. And so this will be our first one. She's still working on it. So we're still moving.
Okay. Fiscal year 24-5 audit.
Yes. As you remember, we brought to the board, initially we were going to go out to RFP for a new auditing firm. After talking to our attorney, talking to a couple auditing firms, you know, they said that we're still within that best practices time frame, and so we don't need to necessarily go out and do it now. The other thing is if we did spend that time to go out, do an RFP, and get companies to come in, that's going to delay the audit. We did not want to delay an audit or miss a timeline again. So we did decide to engage with O'Connor again. And so I think we could probably do that twice more, but I think we just need to get ahead of the game and do it earlier if we are going to go out to RFP. We tested the market out there a little bit.
Good.
Holy wow.
Yeah.
Holy wow. I'm like, is that U.S. dollars? It was significant. And I'm like, okay, well, we're good. So that's why we stayed where we're at on that one.
Okay.
And Laura's already working on that. I know we were doing some work with iBailey. I know Ken's been here working with her, getting things turned in. Laura's been absolutely amazing. She stepped into the role, and not only is she doing the work, but she's trying to understand the why behind it. So the next person it gets passed to as well, and that's been tremendously, tremendously appreciated of her. She's definitely one of our rock stars.
Okay. Any comments from the public? Community survey?
I knew you were going to ask that. It's just time, honestly. That's just no excuses. We are just flat out of time or flat out of days, and we will get to it as soon as we can. We have a draft. I've got your comments. I've got other comments. I got one other phone call to make. We will try to get that out. I'm moving a date back to end of November, beginning of December, and that's with the avian stuff that's out there. With us trying to get the fees and those kind of things, we just don't have any more time in the day. We also have to we've got a lawsuit that we've got to get information back to. We just, you know, have the people or time.
I would suggest if we're not going to put it out until December, that we wait until January.
Yeah.
Because December was a holiday.
Oh, gotcha.
I don't think people would be focused on giving us.
Okay. Well, I was going to leave it open for a couple months if we did do it in December, but we can wait till January too.
Lost in the mail with people.
Yeah.
And honestly, we can use the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that makes sense. Quality. That makes sense.
Any comments, Don?
No.
Public? All right. Wildfire mitigation coordinator vehicle purchase.
Just an update on that. The board approved that at the last board meeting. We immediately submitted everything, literally the next day, to the county for approval. You know, we have to request the use of fire impact fees. That was approved on November 4th unanimously by the Board of Supervisors. And so now the process is purchase the vehicle, get an invoice, we pay for it, and we request reimbursement through Joe Harn and the county. So we're all prepped with that. Alex has been looking at different vehicles. We are settling on a used vehicle. Likely it will be an electric vehicle. We're just looking at the long-term impacts on that, reducing cost. We've got a ton of solar here, reducing our cost of maintenance and fuel. So we're going to live well within the do not exceed of $35,000. That's what was approved by the board as well. I think we'll be under that, and with equipment, we'll probably pop right up against it. So look for that probably within the next week to 2 weeks.
Okay. All right. Items for future committee meetings. Anything to add to the list?
I have nothing.
Well, you were shaking your head like you were going to say aye.
That's up too, but okay.
I have nothing to add. Public comment?
Brad Nicholson. On that vehicle.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Cool. Trying to get out of
it. I know.
In as much as you're buying a used vehicle.
Yes.
I would caution you on how old a vehicle, because those batteries don't last very long.
2024. And they have a 10-year warranty in the batteries. Okay. Yep. We're buying it. Right now, we're looking at 2024 or 2025. It's kind of where we're at. And under 30,000. I think we looked at one for 3,000 miles. Another one's like 15,000 or 20,000.
And they're certified used.
Okay.
All right. Anything for future community? Okay. Items to take to the board. Accountability Act. Two grant applications, fees. That's it.
Yep.
Okay. Matters to and from committee members and staff.
Just that with two of us not here next week, do you have any concerns around the board meeting? And
No. We're going to try to strip down the agenda knowing that, you know, we're going to have two members gone. So we're just going to try to keep it. What's that?
Make it easy on me.
Exactly. We're just going to try to strip that down to just the critical items that we need to do the district's business on. Because we want full input. And so if we're missing two people, I thought that's important. So that's what we'll work on. Just a couple updates. One is you guys will see Alex much more. He's already gotten with Chief Richard and the team. He's already doing inspections. He's already taking payments. He's already doing 8038s. He's an absolute whiz. He's already developed, I'm probably taking all this thunder, but he's already developed a system by which he can go out and do an inspection. He puts that in the system. It goes to Cal Fire, and it also comes out and it prints into a very nice portfolio that they can give their insurance company. And he did that, completely automated that. And so he's working on some really neat things. He's already got postcards and things like that to send out in preparation of next year's season or next fire season, before next fire season. So he has hit the ground running. So I'm definitely really, really good on that one. We had a meeting with, it's more recreation, but it ties to the money. We met with Buckeye Union School District, and we talked about using their pickleball courts. There's 8 of them over there. They did allow us to use them, so we're working. We haven't got to that point yet, but we have preliminary approval. We're working on what an MOU is going to look like. I tell you that because I think it will have an impact financially, and we're going to have to make a decision on all of our facilities, all of our parks, what our priorities are going to be, and what our priorities aren't. And so I know sometimes we hear from a small group of people that want something. I just caution us to look at the big picture. I think the survey will help inform us. And I think with having that potential, having that there, maybe we look at some priorities a little bit differently. So I just want to throw that out there.
It's literally on the other side of this parking lot.
Right.
So we could walk, staff could walk.
Did you really?
We could walk, we could open it, we can close it.
Me neither.
It's 8 courts. Mm-hmm. Well spaced, so you could hold tournaments there. So a lot of things that we wanted to achieve with a standalone facility, they're right
there.
The only really obvious downside is during the school period, we're not allowed over there for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But when they're not in session, weekends, afternoons, evenings.
Mm-hmm. So we'll bring more to you on that. That was one of those deals where we'd asked them in the past and it was absolutely no. But this time we sent them a letter. They wanted to meet. We sat down and they said, absolutely. I think they even gave Mark a key already.
Yeah.
We offered up our pool to some of their other schools and, hey, let's come up with some different programs. So I think we're going to have more conversations with them on that. But I wanted to bring that up because I just don't want us to rush to spend a lot of money on that we don't have. We have a lot of other priorities too. I'll stop talking.
You want to add that today?
Yes. Thank you. You teed me right up for that one. So we did meet with 2 project applicants, Lime Rock Valley, a specific plan, and Marble Valley, a specific plan. It was a very good conversation, just clearing the air. The district has been talking to them, myself and Mark. We've had multiple conversations with Parker and G3, and it was really trying to figure out. They had just assumed they were going to go to El Dorado Hills. But I think that they're kind of looking at everything in totality. Are we interested? There was a new FIA, our financial impact analysis, that was done with our expenses, and it does pencil out. You know, we're a little cheaper than El Dorado Hills. I think for us, should the board vote to annex that project area into our district, I think it would be fruitful for us. I think it provides some potential growth areas for us where we don't have right now. We're landlocked. That provides an opportunity short-term and long-term that I think will help the district be sustainable. So I think we'll be recommending that to the board for full vote, but it's something we need to continue to talk about. With respect to Marble Valley, the conversation really revolves around the fact that there's an impact and effect from their project, or will be, if it's approved, of additional folks. So when you look at 3,000 homes and 700 homes, you can do the math and see that we're going to have an impact, and I think even the project would tell you that as well. The fact that we are where we are located, where we're positioned, we're going to be their closest community center. We're going to be their closest pool. Our parks are going to be the closest, and so it makes a lot of sense for us to talk about what that looks. We just want to be part of the conversation. We're tired of Cameron Park being the afterthought, and we always lose out. So whether or not the board supports the project or not, that remains to be seen. But I can tell you that we're looking at the numbers. It looks positive for the annexation piece, but there's a lot of steps. Did I cover everything?
I heard that south of 50, there somebody had noticed significant infrastructure improvements. I don't know what that means, but I'm assuming that they're planning for something down there, even though it isn't approved.
That's no. Awesome. I think what you're talking about is they're putting, he called it today, E14. So it's another Serrano village, if you will.
Well, they said between Bass Lake and Latrobe, south of 50.
That's Marble Mountain that's already built.
That's east
behind Marble Mountain.
Yeah, they have up to 700 homes, 710 homes going up
Valley
there.
View East.
Yes, that's been. Yeah.
And then I just saw on the Planning Commission agenda the
Creekside.
Creekside is back
I
up.
I saw
in,
that, yes. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Where's that?
It's down Latrobe, the other side. Right.
On the other side of
a lot of homes.
Senior housing or something?
The initial was, I think they changed it up a little bit. I think there's going to be more.
No, it's senior.
Is it back to senior again?
It's back to senior because Latrobe School said we can't accommodate. Okay. So they'll have 100 or some odd homes, and then the rest will be 55 plus, which is just what that area needs more of.
Oh, my gosh.
Right.
Not that there's anything wrong with it. I'll be there next year. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but really?
The project that's going on Bass Lake.
Town and Country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Town Center. Whatever.
Town and Country Village.
My understanding, and we made an application, or at least we initiated a letter to them.
Several, yes.
Yeah, and they kind of slapped us down and said, hey, no. But was that before the 700 homes that they're planning, that they wanted to build?
They never told us that.
I know, and now it's back to the Planning Commission.
Yes, mm-hmm. Which is a good thing.
Yeah, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But then should that call for, assuming it gets out of the Planning Commission, that calls for another effort on our part, right?
100%.
Yeah.
Okay. It's another opportunity. We were in overdrive, the board, our staff. When we looked at that project and you look at our letters, you know, our press releases, nobody is doubting that the hotel is a nice project. I love the hotel. I think it's beautiful. I think it was needed. But what they never told us was the program area, the 700 homes, never once was that brought up. And that will without a doubt have a significant impact on us. And it just kind of slid in there.
Well, not only that, but they don't have the sewer hookup. They haven't done the mm-hmm. work to the
they're
roads.
They're planning to put all of those on septic.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, they're going to run on septic. So the hotel included.
Can you imagine?
No.
No.
They're not gonna let them go. We'll get another swipe at the apple. Yeah. We'll be a lot more aggressive this time. I think.
Assuming it's approved.
Well, we need to get in front of it before it gets approved. Okay. So it's going back to planning, and they're going to sit down and talk with us. I think they're very flippant. Yeah. And I won't say they. Mo is a great guy. He truly is. And I think other people around him pushing the project, his bulldogs, I'll stop talking.
There's a guy that was on that letter. I'm sorry.
Josh Panne.
Yeah. So speaking from a Sacramento point of view, he's not really well-liked. But, okay.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I don't think
he's
so.
He's got the gavel.
We're at 7:12.
All right. 7:12. Okay.
Yes, according to that clock.